Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this, the fourth Sunday in Lent, first Sunday in March. It is starting to feel a little bit like spring out there. Do have a couple announcements. The worship committee is going to meet during the fellowship hour. Dan also wants to briefly gather the session members during fellowship. Those will both happen back in the Sunday school rooms back that way. Tuesday morning, weekly study and prayer group at 11:30. Tuesday evening at 5:30 is the community Lenten service. This week is at our Redeemer Lutheran Church. Supper at 5:30, meal at 6:30. Supper at 5:30, service at 6:30.
We continue to be fed.
Wednesday morning, we wrapped up our book last week, so we will be discussing what to do next in the Wednesday morning group. So if you have thoughts along those lines, please bring those thoughts. Sharks in the afternoon, choir in the evening. Choir is coming into the last stretch before the Monday-Thursday cantata, so if you are singing, it is really important to have you there for that. Friday evening, we're hosting an event for one of the high school groups here at the church. It's nothing for you guys to know about other than if you see cars in the parking lot on Friday night, don't be too shocked. Saturday, Presbyterian women have a St. Patrick's Day luncheon, so all the women are invited to that. And then next Saturday night, we're humming today, or hissing or something. Next Saturday night, we need to make sure we set our clocks ahead. This is when we do daylight savings time and spring forward, so please pay attention to that. What other announcements do we have this morning? See, Susie's got one.
I'm losing phone.
Good morning. It is in the bulletin that the Health Ministry is sponsoring a Red Cross blood drive on Saturday, March the 19th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I do have the sign-out sheets on the table underneath the Health Ministry bulletin board, and I did receive an alert that due to the Zika virus that's going around this year, we need to have more people to come and donate because they're having to turn away some people, some of their regular donors. So please, if you're able to give, talk to me about some of the issues around whether you're eligible. You can also go research it yourself on www.redcross.org. But anyway, if you're able to give, please come out on Saturday, March the 19th. Thank you.
And I'm bringing donuts.
There will be donuts, apparently, so.
Okay, here's a speech from the leprechaun. We would like to really, really encourage all of you ladies to join us on Saturday. We're going to have a great time. Jean is cooking us a yummy corned beef and cabbage luncheon, and we'll have desserts probably. But please let us know if you're going to be there because we want to make sure we have enough food. And we're going to play bingo.
If you know I
remember
how well
that
went
from
last
Christmas,
time.
We'll have lots of good fun.
Landa?
The Easter eggs are due to be ordered the 11th. Today is the only Sunday that you have to order them. You can call me throughout the until the 11th. They're $12 each. Thank you. It's in the bulletin.
Easter lilies insert in the bulletin. This is the week we have to order them at the end of the week, so please get that order into Landa or the church office. Tricia?
We did get another fair trade order in, so we do have decaf coffee again, and also we have little boxes of dark chocolate Easter eggs.
Not that you know anybody who might get dark chocolate Easter eggs. Saw Tim's hand. While Dan moves, there's some bookshelves underneath the bulletin board where you come in. Those are to let you know kind of what's going on, and those books are to be taken and read and returned. So they are a bit of a lending library for us to have out. You can see what the Wednesday morning group has read. You can see what some of our committees are working on and what we're considering reading and those sorts of things. So
know it is still just a little bit early, but the men's meeting will be at the Subway at Walmart.
Okay.
They have a little back room, so the men will meet at Subway this month in Walmart.
Okay. So we're in the back room of the Subway in the Walmart. Could you hide us a little more?
And can some of the men come by afterwards and help us move the table for the Red Cross blood drive?
Well, that'd be about 10 o'clock when we get done.
Oh, okay, then never mind. Before.
The night before.
All right.
We'll figure that out. We do welcome Desi Fox and her associated family. They're not really the important ones. Back to worship with us. It has been a long week, pastoral care-wise. You'll hear more about that later. Please continue to keep everybody in prayer. And we'll do that a little bit later on. I don't see any other hands or announcements, so let's worship God.
Jesus, we walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death.
Let us find our life in you,
Lord. Banished from the Garden of Eden for our rebellion,
we long for the Garden of Paradise.
O Lord, you are the Christ.
Remember us in your kingdom.
We come to hear you speak of your love for us.
We have the words of eternal life.
Our hymn of praise is number 63, The Lord is God.
Amen.
sympathized with us in our weaknesses. In every respect, he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. That's printed in the bulletin.
We come to you, O Lord, by ourselves and with our stories. We come to your body, gathered in this place. At the same time, we bring our brokenness. We look down on our neighbor's brokenness. We bring our gifts and compare them to our neighbor's. We keep score, building ourselves up at our neighbor's expense, tearing ourselves down in the shadows of our neighbor's. Christ, who wipes the slate clean, we ask your forgiveness once more. Christ, who treats us like your beloveds, we ask you to teach us to love your people. May we be your gracious witness to our world.
Silent confession. Now receive the assurance of pardon. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
In Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift.
Good morning.
Today our minute mission, the first one will be to celebrate the gifts of women. Today on the Celebrate the Gifts of Women Sunday, we honor the women who contribute their gifts to the church community, lifting up issues of women's rights and the focusing of the role of women in our communities and the world. In 2016, Celebrate the Gifts of Women Sunday honors and remembers women whose faith leads us like a torch. There are women leaders who are leading the way and passing the torch and their worship inheritance remains in the hearts and minds of worshipers in their congregations and worshiping communities. In Mark 14, 3 through 9, we hear of a woman who boldly inherits the act of anointing, a sacred tradition reserved for men and religious authorities, and carries out this symbolic act of worship, risking condemnation from those who witnessed her action. But Jesus vindicates her, praising her faithfulness, saying, "Wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." This story resonates with the many women in the Presbyterian Church USA, particularly those who practice and live out the bold paradigm of worship. This unnamed woman's act is a model we are fortunate to inherit. Locally, our congregation has always relied on the gifts of women. Our church accepts women in all positions. If that was not so, I wouldn't be here. In this spot. They could probably keep me in the kitchen. Our church accepts women in all positions. Sunday school teachers, deacons, elders, clerk of session, the treasurer, the secretary, choir members and musicians, liturgists, ushers, and kitchen angels. Our church has had a history of three female pastors, Olive Haynes, Cindy Bean, and Lori Fields. Two guest pastors have also been females, Meg Overstreet and Janice West. We will be celebrating these gifts at our quarterly PW meeting on Saturday, March 12th, in the Fellowship Hall at 11:30 at our St. Patrick's Day luncheon of corned beef and cabbage. Please let Jean or I know if you're coming so we have enough food and bingo cards. Desserts will be, if you feel like bringing one, we'll have some. We'll hope to see you there. Thank you.
And now for something entirely different.
Still women.
We're still talking about women, but we're talking about little women. Today is Girl Scout Sunday. All across, I guess the United States, could be the world. I'm not sure. I hadn't thought that one out too far. My little Girl Scout needs to stand over here so you can see her a little bit. Anyway, we're celebrating the activity of Girl Scouts in Southern Illinois, especially in Williamson County, and the Girl Scout in our congregation, which is very special to me. She is of Troop 8068. She is a Brownie, and we're going to recite the Girl Scout Promise, which is very important to me. Not all the leaders in Girl Scouts are Christian or Catholic or whatever. Doesn't matter to me what you are as long as you believe in God. But we're still working on them, little by little. But anyway, we'll put our three fingers up, and we say, "On my honor, I will try to serve God and my country and hide behind my mommy and help people at all times and be a sister to every Girl Scout." That is the law, the promise that we have them recite every meeting. Everything in Girl Scouting is based on the promise and the law. And the law is really long, so I'm not going to tell you all that. But it's all those wonderful Girl Scout law includes many of the principles and common values to most faiths, including encouraging church attendance. And while it's a secular organization, Girl Scouts has, since the movement has begun, encouraged girls to take spiritual journeys with their faith with religious recognitions. There are pins for them to earn called My Promise and My Faith. And some of the troops I've been involved in don't do that, but there are other troops that do, and that's wonderful. There are, in the past 2 years, more than 250 Girl Scouts of Southern Illinois have earned the My Promise and My Faith pins, and that's just really awesome. Our troop does many things in the community, including visiting nursing homes. At Halloween, we hand out reverse trick-or-treating. We dress up, and I even dressed up. We dress up and bring things to the nursing homes, candy if they're able, otherwise we just say a warm greeting. We do that at Valentine's Day, at Christmas we go. We've also been involved in a cleanup at Crab Orchard Wildlife Refuge. And then her former troop, we cleaned up Lincoln School also for a patch. Turn around. Right here it says trash pickup. That's why we do stuff for patches. Anyway, you get confidence and skills out of this also. But what I really want to talk to you about, more than all this wonderful character education, is all day Thursday, coming up, like 4 days from now, on the 10th, 10% of all sales at Marco's Pizza will go to our troop. I have coupons for this event. Some of you receive them on the way in. They're on the table in the narthex. Also in that same location, if you did not get your cookie fix, we can hook you up. From 5 to 8, we will have Samoas, Thin Mints, Tagalongs, and what's that other one? Oh, Do-si-dos. Everything else I will have to get from another troop. Kate is highly addicted to rah-rah raisins. She wanted you to know that, she just told me. She wants to thank everybody who bought cookies already, and she hopes you enjoy them. We really appreciate it. Every box that you buy, we got 75 cents. If you want to look at it a different way, you donate $4, and we give you a wonderful box of cookies. But we actually see 75 cents of that. If you want to, please see me. If you'd like to help in any way of guiding these girls into the wonderful young women we're trying to create. And Girl Scouting is more than just cookie sales, which is what it says. We appreciate your patronage, and we thank you. There's also a pamphlet inside about Girl Scouts inside your bulletin.
I don't have cookies. We are continuing in Mark's Gospel. Two weeks out, lesson is the passage that Sue referred to in her minute permission. That is our Palm Sunday passage this year. It is the anointing of Jesus. But to get there, we're going to go through two relatively familiar stories. The first one we're going to read is, what's the most important thing, Jesus? So we start off, one of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked Jesus, which commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first one is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Then the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one dared to ask him any questions. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will the kids come join me down front? I want you to think about all the stories you know about Jesus. Okay, you know at least like two or three stories about Jesus, right? More than that. When people ask Jesus questions, which they do a lot, right? Are they usually happy with his answer? Is Jesus usually happy with their answer? Sometimes. You're being very careful, Kathy. What about the rich young ruler? He came up to Jesus and said, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, just keep the commandments." And he said, "I've done that." Jesus said, "Then sell all you have and give it away to the poor." Do you remember if the rich young ruler liked that answer? He did not like that answer. But that was last week, yes. There's a story of Jesus and a Syrophoenician woman. And she comes to Jesus and says, "Will you heal my daughter?" And Jesus gives a rather un-Jesus-like answer as far as we're concerned. He says to her, I don't give the food for the children to the dogs. Do you think she was happy with that answer?
No.
Today's passage is kind of interesting because Jesus gives an answer that the scribe likes, and the scribe gives a response that Jesus likes. And that really doesn't happen all that often. Have the right answer. In school, if you have the right answer on your homework, what's that mean?
It means you got it correct.
You got it correct. And it's like points, right, usually? What happens if you do a project and you get it right? What happens if you're playing a game and you know the right answer? Is it good to be right? Maybe. I'm getting a shoulder shrug. Doesn't happen that often in Scripture. We're not right very often in the Bible. And we don't think God is right very often in the Bible either. Well, yeah, God tends to be right. Whether or not we agree, God tends to be right. So what I want you guys to do is pay real close attention to these two stories we're going to read. The one we just read, about to read, and think about what it might mean to really understand what the scribe says and what Jesus says about how we are to be. Okay? You guys do that for me? You guys pray with me? Lord, we have lots of answers. Particularly in children's time at the church, we know that there are lots of answers. Some are right, and some are interesting. Some aren't so right. Lord, this day, you teach us what it is to be your follower. Teach us what it is to love you with our hearts and our minds and our strength and our neighbor as ourselves. We ask all this in Christ. Amen. I invite you to open your hymnals to number 453, and we'll sing together, "Open Your Ears, O Faithful People." Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David?" David himself, by the Holy Spirit, declared, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put my enemies under your feet." David himself calls him Lord, so how can he be his son? And the large crowd was listening to him with delight. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearances say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. Poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I find it incredible that those two passages are really wedged that close together in Scripture. Because we don't normally read them together. They're sort of out there as completely separate packages. They really do talk about the same thing, however. You have the first passage with its rarity of a scribe who respects and agrees with Jesus, and that Jesus seems to respect as well. That just doesn't happen that often in Scripture. When we start moving through the passage, you can see that Jesus is full of disrespect for those who wear long robes and pray long prayers and demand to be seated at the best seats in the house. It struck me this past two weeks, that these passages are real in a way that we don't often think about. Both of them describe a scenario in which you can't back away from it. When we hear the Shema, when we hear Jesus say to the scribe, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength," how much does that leave if we put it all in? I mean, how many of us really put it all in? Can we hold back just a little bit, like to make sure we get through right? Because who knows what this week is going to have. I can't put it all in. Putting all of it in, it's dangerous. Then I've got nothing left. It's already profound. It starts off with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." There's one of this God, and that's all you need. And Jesus is not content to leave it there. These are quotes. That's Deuteronomy 6:4 and 6:5. It's been around a really long time. First copy of that scroll dates to the 7th century BC. So Jesus is talking about something that's been noised around in the Jewish community for 700 years when he's telling them, and it is still an essential part of the prayer life of modern Judaism. It's pretty significant. But he's not going to leave it there because Jesus just won't leave well enough alone, will he? Oh, and by the way, and love your neighbor too. Not just sort of like put up with them. Not just wish they'd sell their house really quickly so they can move. Not just build a tall fence or plant really fast growing trees so you don't have to put up with them. But love them as you love yourself. That's, again, not something that's real easy to do halfway, is it? If you're going to do that, stop caring. You start caring about somebody. When do you stop? We put ourselves all in on God. When do we stop? What's off limits? If we listen to Jesus when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, when do we stop? When do we get a day off? When do we get 10 minutes off? Most of us probably aren't that faithful. Let's be honest. Most of us aren't that faithful. We save out just a little bit for ourselves, right? We've read those self-help and self-care books that say, if you pour yourself completely out, you have nothing left to give, so can't do it all. Clearly Jesus was wrong. Made it so interesting, moving through from this one scribe who seems to get it. We have one scribe. Out of all the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the chief priests that Jesus encounters, we have one scribe who sort of seems to get it. Then you have Nicodemus, who gets it by the end of it. That's not a great recommendation for the religious power structure. Well, out of all you guys, two of you sort of get it. Imagine what that would mean for like the Presbyterian Church USA. We have 11,000 ordained clergy. Well, two of us sort of get it. Right? That would not be a good thing. And Jesus goes on his little diatribe about those of us who wear our long robes and pray long prayers in public. And then he sits down and he watches people put their stuff into the offering plate, essentially. And once upon a time, this was a thing. You could actually watch people put it in. We didn't have checks. We didn't have credit cards. And you didn't even have folding money. You could, like, see what it was that people put in the plate. Whether that's a good or bad thing, I have no idea. But just imagine. Imagine instead of passing the plates that we just put this plate up here and we asked every one of you to parade by and put it in and everybody else got to watch. I mean, that's the scenario we're talking about. So you can give for a couple different reasons, right? You can give for faithfulness. Or you can give because you want everybody to see what you put in the plate, right? Have you ever noticed if you get a college newsletter or a charitable group newsletter, they do their listing of donors. There's a lot of anonymous down in the $25 slot. There's not nearly as many anonymous up at the like $250,000 slot. I'm a little cynical. You should have figured that out by now. So what we have is Jesus watching that. Jesus reading the donor list. And then he actually gets really excited about one. There's this little old church lady. You guys know any little old church ladies? And she comes up and she puts in these two pennies. And Jesus gets really excited about that. And he calls the disciples over and he says, hey, look at this one. Look at this one. She put in everything she had to live on. Now, just for a moment, let's forget that we're talking about two pennies. And let's forget it's not stewardship season. And let's think about how amazing it is that in a span of 16 verses, we have two people that Jesus praises for their behavior and their understanding. Because that doesn't happen. Somehow, in this 16 verses in Mark, we find two people who sort of get what Jesus is all about. And then you got the guys wearing the long robes who pray too long, who just are clueless. Two people get it. Now, I don't expect that after this sermon, everybody will just empty their bank accounts right into the plates. What I want you to think about is how difficult a thing Jesus is saying we are called to do. All. The word all appears a lot in these 16 verses. All your heart, all your mind, all your strength. She gave all she had to live on. I'll tell you, folks, I'm not there. I just paid the mortgage last week. I'm not there. But these last 2 weeks have reminded me of what that looks like in pastoral care. Now, the old model for pastoral care, way back when we rode our horses from station to station, was the pastor's face had to be in the place. We don't really work that way entirely anymore. Now we do it by text message and email and telephone. We get text messages at 7:32 a.m. on a Monday morning, don't we, Jason? And what do? I can tell you that for the last 2 weeks, Dodie and Daryl have not been out of my thoughts and prayers. They have been somewhere sitting right back here through everything. And your neighbor as yourself. You ever have a to-do list that kind of just hangs out right back here? It hangs out, you know, get milk, buy trash bags, take out the trash at our house before the dog gets into it. There is something to this that is really difficult, and yet we do it without thinking when the chips are down. We do it really well in a crisis. Well, at least probably 2/3 of you in this room have been deacons at some point in your life. When we have a funeral dinner, how many people show up with food? Do we ever come close to running out of food? Could we feed a small third world country for a day? But what happens a week later? And a month later? That sharp edge of crisis shows us for just a brief moment both parts of this passage. It shows us what it is to love neighbor as self and to give it all to God, to drop things at the drop of a hat and just go and do and be. And when we're on the other end of the sharp edge of crisis, we often know what it is to give God everything we have to live on. When we are sitting by the bed and we can't do anything and we're really not happy about the situation, we have an insight, perhaps into we might as well put it all in with God, because who else are you going to put it in with? Right? These last 2 weeks have been that sharp edge of pastoral crisis for me. And so approaching these two passages, coming out of that, I get a glimpse of what we are called to be all the time. And I'm both really excited about that and I'm really depressed about that. I'm excited about how well we do that when we do it. We seem to rise to the occasion without the gifts, the skills, without thinking about it. We just do the right thing. And then I'm reminded there's like 364 other days every year. And tens and twenties and hundreds of people who aren't in crisis, but who still need to know that they are loved with the love of Jesus Christ through God's people.
Amen.
These two passages were really hard this week. Tim and I started off Monday morning together, bright and early. And all we really did was we watched this LCD display and waited for it to change color. Well, she's been back there for an hour now, Tim. Don't you think they should have changed it to blue yet? The display moves a little bit and it doesn't change color. The one below it changed color and we got excited for a second because we thought, no. In that moment, we were doing the best thing we knew how to do. We were putting it all in on God. And we were doing it together. I think that's one of the huge challenges in these passages, is to remind us that we don't do this alone. Jesus confronts the scribe with a passage that is liturgical. It is used in worship to this day in Jewish synagogues. This is not a passage you just say to yourself. It's not a passage that fits on your shoes, your basketball shoes, or anything else. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's a great call to worship. It's a great Bible study passage to recite for other people to hear. It is not probably one that we use at home to start our prayer time daily. It's one we use here. For us to hear. And then Jesus says, and your neighbor. Don't forget your neighbor. Your neighbor as yourself in this together sort of thing. And some of your neighbors, Jesus says, pray too long and want seats of honor. But look, there's this one. Did you see her? She put two pennies in. Did you see this one neighbor of yours who's showing you how to do it? These two passages are passages most of us have sort of memorized standing on their own. Separate containers, separate packages. They don't mix. If you've ever had a small child who didn't need food that touched, you know what I'm talking about? Carefully separated and segmented. What if these two passages are a glimpse into how it's supposed to be all the time? Not just when we're frantic. Not just when we're in crisis. Not just when it has hit the fan. What if these two passages are about what the kingdom really looks like? It has been a long time. know Dodie knows she's a little particular. And I'm going to tell stories on her because she can't stop me. She was afraid that she had not done enough. And part of me wanted to reach out and strangle her. Dodie, we talk about grace on a fairly regular basis around here. I know you haven't slept through all my sermons, Dodie. But I could hear that fear. Could hear that fear. So we talked not about what Dodie has done, but about what Christ has done and is doing. And I don't know if it helped. I don't know if we got past the fear and the anger and the anxiety. I don't know. I do know that I left her rubbing ever so softly between her fingers a prayer shawl. And she seemed better. This is the sharp edge of crisis. This is when it is easy to love your neighbor as yourself. This is easy when it's easy to say, I will drop everything and put both copper coins in the plate. What if that was every day? To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen. Friends, I invite you to join with me and say what it is that we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Well, you've all got two copper coins somewhere. Will you put it all in? Not, you know, two copper coins won't meet the budget. Trust me, it won't meet the budget. Lives placed all in meet every need we have. So I invite you to give out of what God has given to us. Let us give and receive our morning offering. Will the ushers come forward? was really invested in this story. We just go through and read everybody's gift off to you. But I will note that there was at least one smart aleck out there. Our prayer sheet is the kind of cream-colored sheet in your bulletin. Fran Giles continues to slowly recover. She was in a lot of pain when I saw her. She did not know who I was when I saw her. Dodie, things have taken a turn, and Dodie is now in hospice care. She had asked for no further treatment to be undertaken after some unsuccessful procedures at the start of the week. Her son Kevin flew in from Japan and got here late Friday, early yesterday. The family is around her, and they are, as you might expect, struggling with it. So please continue to keep Dodie and her family and those who love her in your prayers. While we're not doing anything medically to save her life, we don't know how long this process will take. And is often rather grueling on those involved. So please do keep them in your prayers. Daryl was doing much better this week at Parkway until we found out he has got C. diff. So please keep him in your prayers. That's a bacterial infection that often hits folks who are in hospitals and nursing facilities. And it makes you very weak. So prayers for Daryl as he recovers from that. A warning that if you do go visit him at Parkway, you will be asked to robe up, glove up, and put booties on. C. diff is very contagious in that regards, and so we don't want to discourage you from going to see Daryl if you feel that you want to see Daryl, but be aware that's part and parcel of the deal. Tim's daughter, Deanna, had an 8-hour surgery on Monday that appears to have been at this point 100% successful. She has been discharged from the hospital and is at home continuing to recuperate. The step we're at is hurry up and wait to make sure that there is no post-operative infection that occurs and to see what the cancer count is now. But this was perhaps better an outcome than we dared to actually think or pray for happening. And I know Tim is very thankful for that. What else do we have to pray for this week? See, Jan.
Mary Lindley is not here today because she's watching her husband prepare for medical test tomorrow. He's going to have a stress test, and she's rather concerned.
I do. I just covered it up. We'll let Jeff go first, and then we'll make Betty compete with the children.
This isn't a prayer request. It's a praise. It's good news. A lot of you in recent years have gotten used to seeing me hobbling around on canes. Some people have seen me crawl. I had been living with nightmarish chronic pain for so long that I had begun to think that that was the way it would always be. I just want to thank God for not losing track of me. Thank God for a doctor that wouldn't give up, because I'm running now, and I can clean my house, and I can properly keep up my kitty in the manner to which she has become accustomed. And I'm not vicious with my family and the people I love anymore, because chronic pain will make you vicious. So I'm so thankful.
Amen.
There's no more pain.
Send it down to Betty. The messengers are praying for Miss Gayla's family, the passing of her niece. They're thankful Aunt Lisa is coming. They pray for Mr. King, Miss Dodie, Mr. Daryl. Thankful for spring, thankful for mamas. And there's a quote here, Gayla. If we only say one prayer in our life and it is thank you, it will be enough, end quote. And Things are sparkly on their prayer page today. I'm not sure what's up with that, but things are sparkly.
We like sparkly.
Yeah, you do like sparkly. Maddie?
Continued prayers for my cousin Butch. He's been in the hospital 4 weeks and in and out of ICU, and it doesn't look good. So.
My friend, many of you may know Sheila, she has come to church with me several times. Her mother has cancer, and it was doing better. They'd given her pretty bad news a year ago, and it was doing better. And she went in for some testing. She wasn't feeling well, and it has spread through her whole body and up into her brain. And so they are sending her home from the hospital for quality of life, and probably about a month. That's what they're giving her. So if we can just keep the cards in your family.
Staticking up somewhere intermittently.
Yeah, I've got two. I have a friend that I had in high school that passed away last Sunday after church. That was Ron England. Pray for his family. And also yesterday, my wife Kathy was leaving for work, and next door neighbor comes over and says, "Can you help me? My son is deaf after an illness, and they're going to do the cochlear implant thing, and she's wanting help with sign language." Mm-hmm. And both Kathy's folks were deaf, and she's all about sign language.
Just a prayer request for those leaders that I spoke about that don't have God in their life, that maybe someday they'll realize it and it'll help trickle down to the girls. So.
Ranger's got one.
We were talking about this at choir rehearsal Wednesday night, how much activity we have going on in this congregation within the lives of our members and those who are, you know, actively serving in different ministries and vocations and all of these different things. And so prayers of thanksgiving for the level of ministry that does happen in this place, and but also prayers that as we do as much as we can to put as much as we can in, that we remember self-care and all of those things as well. And also, I thought about doing this during announcements, but this is actually closer to the hymn, so I thought I would mention this now. The hymn that we will sing directly following the time of prayer is a little bit different. So Mary's going to play through one time, and then you'll hear the choir come in three different parts, and then we will sing it three times through after that. So whichever part you would like to sing, you are more than welcome to do so. But there are three different parts that you can join in on that hymn.
Are there other prayer requests? Will you pray with me? God, we know that it is rare when we get it right. And we often come to you when things go all wrong. We come to you over illness and sickness, and sometimes we remember to come to you over health and wellness. We come to you for ourselves and with a little prodding for neighbors. We come to you for those we know really well, and for those we long to know well, and for those we do not know at all. We come to you for all of it, for the hope and the pain and the power for healing and for grieving, for weeping and for laughing, for abundance and for scarcity. We come to you for all of it. Lord, this day, hear our prayers. Hear the ones we've said out loud. Hear the ones that rend our hearts. Hear the ones we don't want to say because it sounds like boasting. Hear all of our prayers, O Lord. And be you. Be the one who comes down to earth as a child and who journeys to Jerusalem and who invites us to go with you. Be the one who teaches us and corrects us and praises us and sets a table for us and heals us and amazes us and blesses us.